We had gone through most of chapter 4, but I'm going to run through it again just to make some comments. There was a great deal of discussion, and there are points that I yet want to make. And so let's look again from Pasuk 8, Vayehi Hayom. One of the things that I'm still working on is this repetition of Vayehi Hayom. There's something more here than meets the eye. Anyway, Vayehi Hayom, we're just going through this quickly, and I'll make comments to fill in what we had talked about last week. Today came Elisha, Vayavar Elisha El Shunem. Elisha went over to Shunem, Visham Isha Gedola. There was the great woman, a great woman. And obviously, when we're talking about a great woman does not mean in terms of her wealth or her position. She has nothing to do with the wealth in the house. We're going to see the silent one throughout, or the one who really is uninvolved in everything, is her husband. But what is her husband involved in? He seems to be involved completely in the economics of the house. He's out in the field. I mean, he reacts or doesn't react very strangely. She got hold of him to eat bread by Yimi de Avro, and it came to pass every time he would go by there, Yasur Shama Le'echol Lechem. And here I'm going to make very briefly the comments that we made yesterday in the Parashat HaShavuashir, where we finally came to grips with the word Yasur. Those of you who were there, and I think the word Yasur here fits in very well into the pattern that we established yesterday this year. Yasur is usually a negative word. This is what we came up with. As you had said, Sur Meira Vaseitov. Or Asur. Or an Asir Bebeit HaAsurim. The word Yasur is a negative one. And therefore we asked, why does it say by the Sneh that Moshe said, Asur Ono Ve'ere'a, will turn to see? And we came up with the whole idea of approach avoidance, that the word Yasur represents a kind of struggle that's taking place. One doesn't really want to go, and then one makes the decision to go. There are reasons to go or not to go. Yasur represents the ambivalence. There's a great deal of ambivalence over here. Remember, it was Vatechazak Bo. She got a hold of him that he should eat bread. He wasn't looking for any place to go. The Navi doesn't need anybody. The Navi certainly is not going to become a member, a sort of an itinerant member of the household of this woman. It's only because she has asked of him, beseeched him. So therefore, Vayihimi Dei Avro, from that first time that he came, when he would pass by Yasur Shama, every time he went there with a degree of reluctance. But he went there, le'echol lachem. Is it somehow that he feels that there is something that's going to happen here? There's something that draws him there. But the whole idea of taking from people and being a guest by people is something that goes against the grain in the nature of the Navi. Tomer el Isha, she said to a woman, her husband, he neino yodati, ki ish elokim kadoshu. If we want to really know why she is a great woman, that really comes to the fore first here. What is it that comes to the fore over here? She says, Hineino yadati, I know, I know. The word yadati is a word that I've spoken about often in the past. Yadati does not mean superficial knowledge. What did you mean? La, she, no, I mean, it means a deep understanding of, for example, the famous, those psukim of Vayeda HaAdam, Adam knew his wife, Chava, and by Chana it says, but I really want the pasuk that says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to tell Avraham that he's going to destroy the city of Sodom and Amorah, it says, Ki Yedativ. God says about Avraham, Ki Yedativ. I know him. Leman Asher Yitzaved Banaved Beito Achrav, that he's going to command his family and his children afterward to keep the way of God. If the Rebbe Shem says about Avram, I know him, this is obviously not a superficial kind of knowledge. If you would have asked the man in the street, what is their opinion of Elisha? They would have said he is a miracle worker. They know him by the externals, the superficial, the way in which he appears to people. He's a miracle worker. I don't know, he reads palms. He checks mezuzahs. When it says about her that she knew him, that means she was able to penetrate and understand the sanctity of the man. She doesn't see miracles. She sees holiness. She does not see the externals of Elisha. She sees the internal Elisha. I know that he is... She sees Kedusha. Other people may have seen all sorts of other things that were done by Elisha. Here it doesn't say that she saw anything he did. She's watched him. She has studied him. And she knows that he is a holy man. Therein lies her greatness. Her greatness too is her... Her perception. Because her...
I
like that. I like that. And therein lies her greatness. She knows. She knows this man well. I mean, we could even say, of course, that she loves him. She loves this holiness. And so she tells her husband. So obviously, the fact that she tells this to her husband means her husband is out of it. He lives in the real world. But I believe her world is the, what did you say? In the materialistic world, and she lives in the spiritual world. And Tamar? Yosef? All right, could be. Here it is. This is the difference. She's a great woman. Yeah, we talked about the... No. Yehuda and Yosef, we also made... But not much the same difference, but something similar. Let's make a little room upstairs. We'll place a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for Elenu when he comes to us. Yasur Shama. Do you understand what this second Yasur Shama is? She's saying she recognizes his reluctance. She knows that she's imposing upon him. She knows that when he comes there, for him it's Yasur Shama. He comes there because she wants him to come there. Vayi Ayom, Vayavo Shama. Yes. There certainly is significance, and I thought of it. And you know what? How I work, because I didn't have a great answer. there are all sorts of things that could be said. Simplicity. She is simplicity, and she knows that this is exactly, he doesn't need anything. I mean, I could try and say other things, but I'm afraid you have to be very careful not to go too far afield. Maybe she wants to assure her husband that, listen, I'm not making a suite for him. I'm not making a palatial. It would be out of character. Yes. In character for Elisha's style and the husband's. The simple things. The repetition of this word is clearly significant, and that's why I said that it's important. The Vayasar also means, as we will see later, he avoids contact with her. He avoids nearly being in her presence. Vayishkav Shlomo, he went to lie down. Vayomrav Gehazi Naro, he said to Gehazi, his boy, Krol HaShunamit Hazot, call this Shunamit, Vayikrolo, he called her, Vatamod Lufanov, she stood before him. Vayomelo, he said to Gehazi, Emorna Eleho, say to her, Hinei Chadadet Eleinu et Kol HaChadadah Hazot, you have done all of this for us, you have trembled all of this trembling for us. Mala Sotlach, what is there to do for Mela Sotlach? Should I speak for you to the king of El Sahat Savar, to the commander in chief of the forces? But Tommy, she said, Betochami Anochi Yoshavet, I live amongst my people. She does not tell him that she doesn't have a child. And this is what we were talking about last week, and I'm more convinced, and I will point this out just a few psukim later on. We're going to see something very unusual and exceptional about this woman. She has come. She has made peace with the fact that she has no children. She has taken all of that love that is in her, and she has found other ways, other channels by which she is going to let it out. She has become a woman of chesed, a woman of kindness. She will use all of those feelings elsewhere. It most probably took her many years until she finally came face to face with the idea that she won't have children, and she has to learn how to live with it. She has to learn how to cope. And then she has to learn what to do with all of the feelings that she has. She has learned all of this. She doesn't want that opened again in the worst way. Because the moment that it's opened, that means she's going to have to start dealing again with all of the feelings, the disappointment, the fear, the unhappiness. She doesn't want that. She has already, she's learned how to cope. She's learned how to live with it. She's made peace with her situation. She just doesn't want that to be opened all over again. So therefore, Vayomer, Elisha says, Umel Asotla, what should we do for her? Vayomer, Gehazi, Gehazi said, Abul Bein Einla, she has no son, the Isha Zakein, and her husband is old. I find it difficult to believe that Elisha didn't know. Gehazi knows, and Elisha doesn't know. I'm ready to say that Elisha does know, and Elisha also knows the struggle. And Elisha knows something else. There are certain things a Navi can't do, or maybe a Navi shouldn't touch. Malachim came to Avram to tell him that Sarah will have a child. This is not in my hands. There are certain things that even the Navi knows he shouldn't touch. You know what happens now when Gehazi tells him, but she has no son? You know what Gehazi is doing here? He is challenging his Rebbe. He is putting Elisha in an extremely difficult position. Gehazi is also a man of externals. He doesn't understand this woman, that she has made peace with her lot in life. Gehazi is putting the problem out on the table. And now, what he's doing is, he in a sense is saying, Elisha, you're on trial. What can you do about this? Vayomer, so Elisha said, Krolo, call her. Vayikrolo, he called her, Vatamod Apetach, she stood at the door. Somebody else stood behind the door. Yeah, her name really was Sarah. Yes, Sarah. Sarah stood behind the door. She stands at the door, Vayomer, and he said, Lamoid Azek, Eid Chayo, this time next year, at Choveket Ben, you're going to be holding a son. The Atchoveket Ben that is said here by the Navi may leave the impression that that's the best that he can promise her. Embrace him. He's not giving a promise here of what the child's life is going to be like. All that he can say is Atchoveket Ben, you're going to hold the son. So she said, Allah don't need Yeshua Kim. No, please, no. Men of God, don't disappoint your maidservant. Vatarva Isha, woman became pregnant, Vatela Ben, she gave birth to a son, Lamoid Hazar Ke'et Chayal Shed, Diberi Le'al Isha, exactly as Elisha said the following year at that time. Vayigdal Hayeled,
And here it is for the third time. Vayehi Hayom, the boy grew up, and the day came. He went out to his father as they were harvesting in the field. Vayomer Aloviv, Roshi, Roshi, my head, Vayomer Alanar. He told the boy, "So Ehu El Imo, take him, carry him to his mother." Vayisa Ehu, when he carried him, Vayivieu El Imo, he brought him to his mother. Vayeshav Al Biker, he sat on her lap, Ad Hatzaharayim Vayomot, until the afternoon, and he died. By the way, I think I remember pointing out a few years ago when we learned this as a Haftarah, that this pasuk may be one of the significant reasons why this story is read for Parshat Vayera. Because in Parshat Vayera, we have the unbelievable scene of Hagar and Yishmael out in the desert. There's no water left. What does Hagar do with Yishmael? She casts him down on the ground, and she goes far away, far away, so that she shouldn't see or hear the death of the child. A difference between a Goyish Mama and a Yiddish Mama. How could Hagar have done that? She's more concerned about her own pain. And here the child, a Yiddish Mama, is going to hold the child on her lap until he dies. She took him up and she put him to lie down on the bed of the Yishulakim. But his girl, she closed the door, and she went out. But Tikra Elisha, she called her husband, she said, "Shilchanile, Echad min anorim, send me one of the boys, Vachad vatanot, and one of the donkeys, Vahrutzad Yishulakim, Vahshuvar, will run to the man of God and I will return." And he said, "Madu atolechad elav Hayom, why are you going to him today? Lo Chodesh, lo Shabbos, it's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Shabbos." But Tommy, she said, "Shalom." A strange answer. Very strange answer. He's not asking. She's not going to get into any conversation with him. But Tarvosha Aton, she saddled the donkey. Vatomer El Nara, she told her boy, "Nahag Valech, ride and go. Al Tartzali Lirkov, don't stop riding. Ki Amartilach, unless I tell you." Vatelech Vatavo Elisha Lekim El Har Carmel. She went and she came to the men of God to the Mount Carmel. The man of God saw her from opposite him. He said to Gehazi, his boy, There is that Shunamit. I do, of course, wonder, I may be doing the same thing I did last year. Why doesn't she have a name? Neither she nor her husband, nobody has a name. They're nameless.
Who is nameless?
The Shunamit. What's her name? Sarah, Esther, Rachel. The other one was Avishag. Who is she? What's her name? He doesn't even refer to her by name. Hinei Hashunamit Halaz. I have difficulty even with the words Hashunamit Halaz. That. It.
It's not the chuppah, right?
It bothers me. No, the whole story doesn't appear in the Rei Island. What did you say? Oh yeah. That's. You're right. She had no name, but at least there, Chazal. Yeah, you're right. Unless, of course, what we really want is that the Mokeid should be Elisha. Elisha and Gehazi. They're both going to learn something from her. Watch. They're going to learn something very important from her. Yes? So I say, whenever there is no name, so I think it's significant. Yeah, it means that we have to, the focus becomes Elisha and Gehazi. Let's say, Ata Rutzna Lekrosa, run toward her, Vemorla, and say to her, Hashalom Lach, Hashalom Leisheikh, Hashalom Leyalad. How are you? How is your husband? How is the boy? Vatome, and she said, Shalom. Second time, Vatomer Shalom. She will not talk to anybody. You know what the Vatomer Shalom here means? It explains to us the first Vatomer Shalom. She's going to speak to no one except for the Navi. She came to the bed of God, to the mountain. She held on to his feet. But why doesn't it say here? Why isn't he called Elisha? In Pasuk 25, twice he's Ish Elokim. In 27, he's Ish Elokim. When she put him up into the room, she put him onto the bed of the Ish Elokim. You're right. What he's going to have to do is he's going to have to act as an Ish Elokim. That's what she had seen in him to begin with. Vayigash Gehazil Hadvon, Gehazi came to push her away. Vayomer Ish HaElokim. The Ish HaElokim said, Harpela, leave her be. Ki nafsho marola, because her soul is bitter. Vashem Helim Imeni, and God has concealed from me, Velo Higidli, and has not told me. Vatome, she said, Hashaalti ben Meis Adoni, did I ask for a son for my master? Hello, Amarti, but I said, Lo Tashloti. Don't disillusion me. Vayomer leGehazi, he said to Gehazi, Chagor matnecha, gird your loins. Kach mishamti biyadcha v'alech, take my staff in your hand and go. Ki timtso ish lo tevorechenu, you see anybody, don't bless him. V'chi yivorechecha ish lo ta'anenu, and if any man says hello to you, don't answer him. V'samta mishamti al pnei anar, place my staff upon the face of the child. V'tomer eim anar, the mother of the child said, Chai Hashem, I swear to God, v'chein nafshechoy mezvekar, I'm not going to leave you. V'yokom v'yelech acharea. Now, Elisha seems to be sending Gehazi to do what she wants him to do. Gehazi is not going to succeed. You know, that's very interesting.
She said shalom to the child.
That's very interesting.
Aval
mefurash, ze lo katov, ma'anyeh mod. It doesn't say the feirush that she told him that the child is dead.
She said shalom to him.
Yes, to Gehazi.
She wouldn't have acted this way without.
Yeah, and I would say he understands that something is wrong with the child. And
she didn't walk slowly, she didn't go, she was running.
So
he knew that something
is better.
That's why he said to
me, "Okay, good, good." Watch. Gehazi passed before them. He put the staff upon the child. No sound, nothing to be heard, nothing. And he came back to him. And he told him, "Lo, now the boy has not woken up." The Medrash adds something over here. Talmud Yerushalmi says the following. I'll read it in its Hebrew translation. Elisha told Gehazi not to talk to anybody. The Gehazi lo also came. Gehazi didn't do so. Elatasha pogabo adam, he met somebody. The Shalom, and he asked him, Ayin ula ayin Gehazi, from where? And to where are you going, Gehazi? Amalo, he told him, Holechani lahachayot meitim, I'm going to bring the dead back to life. Holach, he went. Velo also klum, he didn't do anything. He puts the staff, the stick on the child, nothing happens. Chazer el Elisha, he came back to Elisha. Amala, 5.3 kilometers. 5.3 kilometers from Har Carmel to Shunem. He comes back to Elisha and he tells Elisha nothing's happened. Amalosa, Elisha tells him, Yodea ani, I know that nothing has happened. Gam ilu haya yoshein lo haya nin ara yodecha. If the child would have been sleeping, you couldn't have woken him up. Because he did not fulfill the mission the way he was supposed to fulfill it.
But that was the mission to take a child who was dead, put him back to life. It could be done only by a Nabi. How can Elisha give such a mission to Gehazi? How is it possible that he...
By the way, I'll ask you an even more difficult question. How can Elisha do it? Nobody has brought the dead back to life.
He wasn't really dead.
Oh, no. He was dead. Oh, no. Oh, that was, you know, that was a little, they tried to, a little theory of the right try to get it over there. No. Wait a minute. There are two ways of looking at what Gehazi is doing. Gehazi could be nothing more than somebody with a big mouth. Can't hear how he talks. It could be also that Gehazi wants people to know that his Rebbe Elisha can bring the dead, can be Mechaye Meisim, can bring the dead back to life. In other words, either Gehazi himself may be in doubt. But remember, it's more than that. Doesn't everything happen with the doors closed? Mm-hmm. Doesn't everything happen because it takes place in concealment? You can't tell it to the whole world out there. Ein habracha shruya ela b'davar hasabim mina ayin. Bracha is only in that which is in concealment. He has broken the concealment, the air of concealment. He's broken it. Yehoshua Na'ar Mishoret Moshe. Yehoshua was the Na'ar Mishoret Moshe. Gehazi is very close to Elisha. By the way, you're going to have patience. There may be a whole shiur just on Gehazi, but it's not going to be now. We're going to need the next chapter not only to understand Gehazi, we're going to need the next chapter in order to understand all of the people that have their na'ar. Didn't the husband over here have his na'ar? And he tells the na'ar, so Ehu El Imo, take him to his mother. There are more than that. There are people throughout Tanakh who have a na'ar. But I'm saving that. That's a different shiur. What happens over there is why doesn't Gehazi succeed? Number one, Gehazi doesn't succeed over here in bringing him back to life because what's absent is the personality of a Navi. You need Elisha. It's not Gehazi. It has to be Elisha. Number two, the staff of the Navi is not enough. You need the Navi himself. Number three, and this we began to point out last week, the Navi here is going to need something that he needs nowhere else. What he needs over here is tefillah. He's going to have to turn to God because the key of tchiyat hametim is in the hand of God. It's not in his hand. He's going to have to get it from God. Now, what happens over here is even more fascinating. The woman is the one who interests me. The woman over here says that she's not going to Chai Hashem. In Pasuk 31 she said, "Vatomer emana Chai Hashem v'chai nafshecha im ezvek." I swear I'm not going to leave you. He has already sent... Now, what happened in the Pasuk before? He sent Gehazi. She says, that's not good enough. I'm not leaving you. Now, Elisha is going with her. Pasuk 31 tells me, Pasuk Lamarav tells me that meanwhile, Gehazi had already gone because he left before him. And nothing happened. Pasuk 32, finally Elisha comes into the house. V'nei ha'nar meit mushtav al mitato. What does it mean that she says, Chai Hashem v'chei nafshecha, I swear by God, im ezofa, if I will leave you. The wee hours of this morning, I was rereading something that somebody gave me in shul about a week or two ago, and there's some very
Unbelievable, unbelievable ideas. It's a, might as well, yes, right, this is, can we change God's plan? This is a series of study pamphlets that has been put out by the OU over there in, you know, New York. So there's a fellow, Davins by Mimi Shul, who prepares the source material for this. Can we change God's plan? What they're really talking about is the whole pamphlet is talking about bitachon. Mm-hmm. Bitachon. Now, bitachon, they translate throughout the pamphlet as reliance on God, to rely on God. They quote from the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon says the following: Ikar netinata Torah liYisrael, the main purpose why Torah was given to Israel, kedei shiyosimu bitchonam baHashem, that they should place their reliance in God. Lefi sheikar hakol hu habitachon hashalem, because the most important thing of all is complete and total reliance on God. Vehu klal kol hamitzvos, that is really which emerges from all of the mitzvot. I'm going to read a number of things to you, and then I think you will, you'll be able to understand this woman and the greatness of this woman. The first Rashivav tells the Ma'aril Blach on the basis of this, Vilna Gaon says the following: Zesh shanim rabot, it's many years. Kim dumani shezahaya od bimei yalduti, could very well be that it was in my youth. I heard in the name of the Gong Mi Vilna that a thief who is making his way in the dark of night into a home in order to steal, if at the time he goes into the house to steal, he has, don't ask any questions, just listen first. If he goes into the house to steal and he has absolute and total reliance, bitachon, in the Rebbe Rishon, that he's going to succeed, yatzliach gam ken begnevasa, he's going to succeed in the act of stealing. Kimuvan, says Maril Bloch, lo yacholti lahasig et rayon devarav, I wasn't able to understand what the Vilna Gaon is saying. Ki habitachon b'Hashem, reliance on God, yo'ilo la'odom la'avar aveiro, u'laharshiyang negdo yidbara, that reliance on God should help somebody do an aveira and reject the word of God. Arzeu ma'ashamanu, this is what we said, that midat habitachon, reliance on God, segula ruchanit, it's a very, very special kind of spiritual treasure. Shehud ba'aveteva habriya, it is in nature. It has become implanted in nature. Absolute reliance on God will bring about the desired result. Since the power of God, of reliance on God, since bitachon, is a law of nature, it will not change regardless of its usage. If it's part of nature, l'tova l'ra. If bitachon is built into nature, if you're going to have bitachon, but it has to be absolute reliance on God, then you must succeed. God made this as part of nature. Absolute reliance on God can bring about any desired result, even if it is sinful. There is a I don't know yet. I will be if all that we can understand from this is how bitachon works in a positive sense. So at least let's say that we understand. If Maril Bloch had difficulty understanding the Vilna Gaon, and what did he arrive at? He arrived that bitachon is built into nature, that if you have absolute bitachon, that's it, it's going to work. Whatever's going to happen is going to work. So the, the conflicts there are a lot. Wait a minute. Rabbi Yosef Yezel Horowitz. Who is Rabbi Yosef Yezel Horowitz? The altar of Navardek. Said the following. He said that the Alshach, once taught that it's possible for a person to attain anything through absolute reliance on God, absolute bitachon. So there was a Pasha Diyid who was sitting in the
in the Beis Medrash and he was listening to the Yerusha. He was a balag. He was a balagola. He was a wagon driver. He came home and he sat down by the table, started drinking a glaze of latte. He's not going to drive his wagon anymore. He has officially retired from driving the wagon. Family looked at him like an absolute mishugana. How are you going to support us? You support us only by being a wagon driver. This Pashat, the wagon driver that knew no chachmas whatsoever, said, I just heard the Al-Sheikh say in shul that if you have absolute reliance on God, he'll take care of you. And the family is going crazy. It's a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He's sitting there, and that's it. And he's saying Tillim. By the way, he's saying Tillim. What's he going to do with himself all day? What better to do? Didn't know how to learn. So he said Tillim. Sits and says Tillim. Meanwhile, things in the house are going from bad to worse, and from worse to worser. It couldn't get any worse. Meanwhile, since nobody was riding the horse and the wagon, they sold it to a guy. The guy went off, and the new owner of the wagon, the guy, uncovered a hidden treasure. He was out someplace and he found gold and silver and diamonds and all of these things. And unfortunately, an accident happened, and he was killed. So you have the wagon, and you have the horse. You know what the horse does? Goes back home. Goes back home to its owner. Where's the horse going to go? As the hungry family heard the braying of their donkey, they went outside to find the wagon full of riches. Why did it work? It worked only because this Pashat Yid had total reliance on God. There's only bitachon. Bitachon is lost on the young. Children have an innocence and a trust and reliance on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that begins to diminish as we grow older. As we grow older, first of all, we begin to worry and become more concerned. You know, panosa, this, that. We begin, of course, to rely on our own abilities, you know. You know, if the Rabbeinu Shel Olam won't provide for me, so I'll teach Hebrew school on the side, you understand? So the older we get, the less we rely on God and really rely on ourselves. And that's the worst thing that can happen to us. To be able to achieve an absolute reliance on God, it means, therefore, one must achieve a certain piety that is very difficult. But remember, and by the way, when the students, it says that when the students, Yezel Horowitz said that when the students of the Al-Sheikh heard the story, they exclaimed, how can this simple balagola achieve greater heights than us? Uh-huh. For years we've been working on bitachon. We've been learning the Shar HaBitachon. What was it? One of the first things my doctor told me when I came to, I was sick. I thought he'd give me antibiotics. I always wanted he knows. Every time I call, you want antibiotics already? All right, antibiotics. He tells me, go home and learn Rabbeinu Bechaya's Shar HaBitachon. Go read the Chayyas HaLavavis and leave me. By the way, he was right then. He was right then. I needed the Shar HaBitachon more than I needed the antibiotics. So the students of the Al-Sheikh asked him, how was it possible that this simple balagola over there was able to achieve such bitachon? So the Al-Sheikh explained to his students that it was very simple. You are sophisticated students. When I said that reliance on God works, you asked questions, you thought about it, you defined, you redefined. The porter just listened to what I had to say and simply accepted my words. There's a childlike, not childish, childlike, total reliance on God. What's the famous Mishnah at the end of Sota? At the end of the Sefer Sota, there's a Mishnah that describes how terrible the world is going to become as we approach the Messianic era.
Leadership will not be leadership. Promises are going to be broken. The young are going to rise up against the old. The fools against the wise. A whole world order is going to be topsy-turvy until we reach the point of Ein Lanu Al Mi Lehisha'en Ela Al Avinu Shebashamayim. We're going to find out that, all right, so we thought we'll get Peres out of power, Netanyahu in, we'll be able to just go ahead and relax for the rest of our lives, live happily ever after. The Rebbeinu is telling us, Ein Lanu Al Mi Lehisha'en Ela Al Avinu Shebashamayim. We have to reach the point at which we recognize that nothing is going to help except him. That total reliance, said Maharil Bloch, that total reliance is built into nature, that it must work. It must work. Do you know what this woman is? This woman, she has placed absolute trust, complete trust, that the Navi can do it. It's in the hands of God and he can do it. She doesn't depend on Gehazi, she doesn't depend on the stick, she doesn't want to talk to her husband, there isn't a soul in the world she's going to talk to. Only the Ish Elokim. And that's why he's an Ish Elokim throughout. He's the Ish Elokim.
But.
Let it sink in first. Let it go into the Tishgot Safta.
But. She doesn't
want
to accept the baby because she doesn't trust him.
No.
That's what she said.
Not that she doesn't. No, she doesn't want to be disappointed again.
Well.
It's not the same thing. No, no.
It doesn't mean she doesn't trust him.
No, doesn't mean she doesn't trust him. All right, we just made short shrift of that, you know. No. I really explained it earlier. She doesn't want to open up the old wounds. That's what she doesn't want. She doesn't want to... I've learned to live with my condition. I've learned to live with it. I've taken all of those feelings and I've channeled them. I don't want to open it again. I haven't asked for you. Don't give me something I didn't ask for.
Well, she's obviously suspicious that it won't come true. Otherwise, she wouldn't... Isn't there a line someplace that we're not allowed to defend that very well? Or something over there?
That's... On the contrary... She didn't want that. She has accepted God's judgment. She doesn't want that. Now it's up to the Navi.
I hear
what you're asking. I understand the issue that you're asking. And that's why...
Nachshon had to put his first foot in before he could get
it. It's for that reason. You're absolutely right. It's for that reason that this absolute bitachon is so rare. We're incapable of that absolute bitachon until we're going to be pushed against the wall. And on the contrary, our responsibility is, but here it becomes more difficult. Listen to this. After what I do, what am I supposed to believe then? I prepare an army, I have tanks, after I do all of that, do you know what I'm supposed to believe? That the decision of what's going to happen on the battlefield is not mine, but it's going to be God's. Do you know how much more difficult it is then? In other words, after I put myself already into the position that I put in so much effort, and I'll begin to think already that, listen, it's my effort. Tougher. After all the effort that I've put in, I should think that it's not me? I had no part in all of this? That makes it even more difficult. Let me... I'm going to read to you one piece from the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin, a very powerful, powerful sefer. I'll read it in the... I have difficulty reading in the English. I have to...
Why should people do anything? Stay home and gather and say,
but you have to see it.
Nothing to worry about.
But you have to see it.
We can't do it.
Just saying it is enough.
Reb Chaim Volozhin said there is a great and wonderful aid. Listen to this. This is very good. This is Reb Chaim Volozhin, the Talmud Muvak of the Vilna Gaon, the great Rav Chaim Volozhin. He said the following: there is a great and wonderful aid to prevent the scheme of any person from touching him. If I'm afraid that somebody is going to cause me harm, there's a way to avoid it. Listen carefully. Wouldn't anybody want to know the answer to this? How can I make certain that somebody who wants to hurt me will never be able to do it? The way is for a person to fix in his mind that God's is the only true power, and there is nothing in this world or in all the worlds that has any power whatsoever. Everything is a manifestation of His oneness. He should not pay any heed to any other force or will and attach himself purely to God. God will then render all powers null and void, that nothing should be able to harm him. Finished. If I believe, very simple, and as simple as it is near impossible because we are human. But there are people who are able to achieve this. There were people able to achieve this. One of the people is this woman. Absolute trust in God. Yes?
Isn't this the opposite of what you said yesterday?
This sounds like a real attack on me.
Yes,
go ahead.
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because God is not going to take away from this world the power of choice between good and evil. Therefore, the people who want to do evil are going to do it. Even though we believe that our bitachon in God will prevent
that's
that.
That's exactly what the Nefesh HaChaim is saying. There is only one way, and that's absolute bitachon, the kind that we are most probably, very few of us, if any, are ever capable of. But would we be capable of it? Would we be capable of it? Then that person's evil will not be able to affect me. He may be able to hurt somebody else. And if all of us are able to achieve that bitachon in God, then you know what's happened? We've created the perfect world. There is no need anymore for choice. The moment we have achieved that bitachon, choice is no longer necessary. Let me explain something else. Oh boy, you're going to take me into also. The Gemara says about Rav Chanina ben Dosa. Rav Chanina ben Dosa, Kol Ha'olam, God said the following: Kol Ha'olam Nizon Bishvil Chanina Beni. The whole world is sustained because of my son Chanina. The Chanina Beni, my son Chanina, Dailo Bekav Charuvin, May Erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos. All that he needs is a bowl of Charuvin, a Charuvin Boxer, a plate of Boxer from one Friday to the next Friday, and the whole world depends on him. And he was able to live on Boxer, so that's a miracle too. Maybe that's a bigger miracle than all the miracles he did. Charuvin, St. John's bread, they call it.
Carob.
The Gemara lists all sorts of miracles that were done by Chanina ben Dosa. For example, one of them is they were penniless. They had nothing in the house. One Friday, his wife told him, "I don't have oil for the Shabbos menorah." So he asked her, "What do you have in the house?" She says, "I have vinegar." So he said, "Put in vinegar." She looked at him, "Oh, you put in vinegar." And Chanina ben Dosa said, "Misha amal Hashem en v'yadlik, yom al hachometz v'yadlik." The same one who said that oil should burn will say that vinegar can burn. And you know what happened? The vinegar burned. It was like oil. What's the pshat? Number one, Rav Chanina ben Dosa's bitachon, his reliance on God, is absolute. He wasn't just saying frumma words. He meant it. Number two, I had said yesterday, why doesn't God reveal himself? Why doesn't God do miracles? So I said, because if God would do miracles, it would rob us of our free will. Right? That's what I said. Said Rav Dessler, by Chanina ben Dosa, since he has already reached the point where miracle and nature, Otodavar, it's the same thing. He's made his choice already because he sees in every leaf, in every blade of grass, he sees miracle.
He doesn't have to be tested anymore. He no longer is in the position where he has to be left with the free will choice of good or evil. He's made the absolute choice of good forever. If so, for him, God can do miracles, because the miracles are not in any way going to affect him negatively. It's not going to rob him of any free will. He has already, by virtue of his free will, robbed himself of his free will. Isn't that the ultimate? Isn't that really what we're supposed to do? What we're really supposed to do is divest ourselves of our own free will. Do we have free will in every area of life?
No. Only in a little area.
I don't think that there's a single one of us who has free will with regard to eating a cheeseburger at McDonald's. We walk by there. I don't even think that we have the question. There is no question in our mind, should I go into McDonald's or shouldn't I go into McDonald's? No, what Rav Dessler calls this, he says they're like two opposing armies. Army begins here, army begins here. Army here has already conquered the area up to here. Army over here is up to here. The struggle now is here. Before, the struggle was between here and here. Now the struggle, that means this area is taken care of. The new struggle is over here. So it's true with each and every individual. There are certain areas that are out of the purview of struggle. It's not a struggle anymore. No struggle whether we should be Shomer Shabbos or not. I'm not going to get into my car on Shabbos. Believe me, I'm not going to get it. I don't even have a Yetzer Hara to get it. I don't even have one. Right. I don't even have a car. If I want to get into it, I'll just watch the gamble. Okay, so all right. Right. No choice. Then it's... you know where we find ourselves. The area is, it can be the area of, little Lashon Hava over there. There are certain areas in which we have our struggles. But there are certain areas that we have already completely conquered. Hanina ben Dosa conquered the whole field. He had already achieved the choice, the free will choice of removing all of his choice. By him, there's no gosh anymore. There are no temptations. Therefore, miracles can happen to him because miracles are in no way going to affect his free will one way or the other. We mere mortals who are not Rav Hanina ben Dosa, we are the ones who are still struggling in all sorts of areas. The miracle would remove our struggle. So, I didn't contradict myself today. The point that I want to make is this: Isha Hashunamis has achieved absolute trust in the Ish HaElokim and the work of God. She's the one who's going to be able to bring about the Tchiyas HaMeisim. Because anything in the world can happen if you really believe that it's going to happen. I mean, it's a frightening idea. I don't know, frightening, it could be exhilarating. It could be frustrating too, because the chances that we will be able to achieve such total and absolute reliance on God, very difficult. Yes?
Just to answer that one more further, the act of reliance on Hashem, can we do that for ourselves? Yes, probably. But what about when it's related to other people? For example, Abraham's questioning of Hashem, how do I know that this will be so, that what you're saying is so? Or Moshe's discussion and argument with Hashem. In other words, we have people in the Torah that also, but it wasn't for themselves.
Oh, for sure, you're absolutely right. Bitochen is only me. I can't have Bitochen on Yenin's Cheshbon. Just as I pointed out yesterday in the Shir, Moshe Rabbeinu questions God. Why does he question God? And God has a complaint to him. Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I made all sorts of promises to them, and they didn't question me, even though I didn't fulfill them. And you question me. So I say, Moshe Rabbeinu is obviously correct. If you didn't fulfill a promise to Abraham, to Yitzchak, and Yaakov, did that mean that 3 million Jews, men, women, and children were going to suffer day and night? You made promises to me, but if you don't keep my promise, your promises to me,
There's suffering out there, and their suffering is getting worse. Don't put me in the same category as Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's very nice for them to have betachin when all the betachin did was affect them. But my betachin in you is affecting 3 million Jews. That's a different story. Me, yeah. Betachin is me, yes.
I just want to make sure I heard what I heard. I said that the mother's betachin enabled her to bring about the resurrection.
When she said, Chai Hashem, yes, I said that. You heard me right. Chai Hashem, v'chai nafshech, I swear by God, I swear by you. Im ezvek, if I will forsake you. It's you, and only you, and I believe you can do it. Because you're adopting, I know that you are Yisrael again. That's right.
Now, can I take another quick question? Resurrection of the dead in general, that we believe in as a people. Do we rely on our belief in that concept?
By the way, the Mishnah says in the Masechta Sanhedrin, anybody who doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim simply won't be resurrected.
But for ourselves,
yeah, we have to believe in it.
But
the Rebbeinu Shem just, huh?
But only the Shia.
Oh, no, how it's going to happen, we don't know.
He's saying the concept that an individual will be resurrected depends on his belief.
On his belief. If you don't believe it, God is not going to resurrect anybody against their own free will. You don't believe in it, you don't get resurrected. It's the Mishnah says. Person says, ain't Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah, there is no Tchias HaMeisim. It's not Zechut, the Tchias HaMeisim. Eilu. Yeah, you know, if they don't have a Shia L'Olam HaBoah, remember, Tchias HaMeisim can only come from the Neshamas that are in Olam Haba. But what happens if a Neshama never makes it to Olam Haba? So it can't be a candidate for Tchias HaMeisim. The Neshama disappears. That's the last, the first mission in the last parak in Sanhedrin. Hey, look.
This is,
to
boost the flow, but my family doctor told me this week that if a person believes something's going to help them, it could be a placebo or anything, 30-40% of all diseases across the board, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, you name it, across the board, it has been scientifically proven that even if you take a placebo, 30-40% of all illnesses will be cured. 30% will be cured. And he's an Englishman, he doesn't believe in any of this company. He's very straight Englishman, the doctor. He said it's been scientific. If you believe, 30-40% of the illnesses will be cured. I couldn't believe it.
Hey, that's pretty bad. You better believe it. You better believe it. That's tremendous. Tremendous. Let me, the power of the mind. But over here we're talking about more than the power of mind, the power of the mind plus the power of God. That's what this woman is. This woman is Isha Gedola because she is a great Balas Bitachon. That's what it is. I'm not going to leave you. She wants no one else in the world. Just the one that she knows to be Isha Lakim. Yes. I have to read one little piece of the Vilna Gaon, then we'll, but first. Let me read one. I'll read it in the English, it's going to be easier than going. It gives you the sources both in English and in Hebrew. I don't know. You want it?
Otherwise we're going to borrow it, we're going to make copies.
Get in touch with the OU office.
No answers in the book.
Paradise Project, no? Rabbi Yaakov Haber, I'll give you the... I'll give you the address and everything. There's also you'll cry. They have the text of Esther Waxman's commencement address to Yeshiva University. She gave the you better be ready with a whole a pack of tissues, Kleenex, before you start reading Esther Waxman's speech over it. It's a classic document of all.
You need it so you can forget what our husband said.
No, let's talk to positive. Let's stick with positive. Let's. Where the Vilna Gaon? When a child is very young, he places all his reliance on God. Therefore, God cares for all his needs and guides him at every turn. As a person grows and begins to have reliance in himself, God's providence lessens. The same is true on a national level.
Oh, she just walked out. Where did she go? When the Jews stood before the Red Sea in terror of the Egyptians, they placed all their reliance on God. Afterwards, when their reliance on God diminished, God's providence likewise diminished. Now, when I was saying that even after, what I was really saying is, after Nachshon goes into the Yam splits, not because Nachshon is there, but because Nachshon, why is Nachshon ready to go into the water up to his neck? Because he has reliance, he has been talking like all these Baruch Hu. In other words, Nachshon is not saying that he's gone into the Yam and I'm going to split the Yam. Nachshon is going into the Yam because he believes and he trusts that the Rebbeinu is going to split the Yam. That's what it
happens. That's why the Kishan HaEish worked for Abraham and not for his
brother. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Nimrod throws Avram into the furnace and Avram emerges unscathed. Unsinged. His brother Haran, who was on the sidelines, and so he said to himself, if Avram emerges, then I'm with Avram. If Avram doesn't emerge, then I'm with Nimrod. Uh-huh. So then after Avram emerges, they ask him, and whose side are you on? I'm with Avram. And he went in and was burned to a crisp. Because he didn't really believe. He didn't really believe. And Avram really believed. And I'll tell you even more. It's not that Avram really believed, because Avram went ready even to be consumed. There's you bring in all sorts of things. There's a medrash. There's a medrash that says the following. When everybody bowed down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah didn't bow down, and they were going to be cast. Anybody who was not going to bow down was going to be cast into the furnace. Before this happened, they went to Yechezkel, and they asked Yechezkel, will God stand by us? Yechezkel says to them, no, God is not going to stand by you. They went out. After they went out, God appears to Yechezkel and says, Yechezkel, give me a break. Do you think I'm not going to stand by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Of course I'm going to stand by them. But they can't know them. There's no mysterious nefesh anymore if they know that God is going to stand by them at all. It means, therefore, of course, when they made the decision that they're not going to bow down, they're ready to go, Kiddush Hashem. Uh-huh. Then the Rebbeinu was able to come down. Ani eineni omed lahem, God says to Yechezkel, you think I'm not going to stand by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? I was afraid that somebody was going to ask me that question.
I don't know.
She asked him, what about Rabbi Akiva? So you know what I'm remembered of? You're going into the Hasidus Kabbalah stuff. That's yours, Sarah. I'll tell you. You know what I remember right now? He doesn't know that. I would rather take a different approach. If there would be a guarantee all the time that God stands by those who are Moser Nefesh, you know what would happen? There would be Mesiris Nefesh would no longer exist. That's one. Number two, and because I have Esther Waxman's speech in front of me, so I remember what Rabbi Mordechai Alon said at the funeral that night. Sometimes, you know, you pray to God and the answer is no. Huh? No, Mati Alon said it. Oh, that the father told. Okay, so we're both right. Elu ve'elu, divrei Elokim. Sometimes that's God's answer.
Yeah.
The answer is no. And that's the answer, right. He answers, and the answer is no. She's an Isha Gedola. Because this Isha Gedola wants to speak to no one, wants no one, will trust no one, only the Yishalakim. And because she trusts only the Yishalakim, she gives power to the Yishalakim to be able to accomplish what he's going to accomplish. I am frustrated today, but we'll be done because I didn't even start the whole new shift for today.
Is the converse true? Like if you're carrying the mass that we used to do, then we're helping them? No, but we just said it
yourself. The answer is no. You just said it yourself.
So there's Baladala, he maybe he wouldn't have had.
Yeah,
the question is, why did it come to him? The students wanted to know, why did the Balad Gullah get it all?
You're saying that if your
Kitzchak
is great enough, then it'll be positive.
That's right.
It might be or will be.
Yeah, but don't you understand? If you're thinking that, listen, if I achieve great Kitzchak, the Rosh Hashanah is going to do everything for me, that's already Eis Kitzchak. It's Eis Kitzchak. It has to be childlike.
But what happens to somebody else? You know, and you put yourself in the before, not a shamble. You have to watch it.
Yeah.
Listen, a story.
A little girl who had a doll and a leg hanging.
Yeah.
She said to her mother, I'm going to pray that God should have a doll. And her mother said, oh, ridiculous, God isn't going to fix a doll. I'm going to pray. Next morning, of course, the doll still didn't have any legs. So the mother said, see, I told you, God didn't answer you. She said, no, God didn't. And I heard this story before, this whole incident.
God
answered me
and
said, no. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. I want to make sure you're in good shape while I'm
gone. Where are you going?
I have to go to Florida. My mother's in second year science. Right. So, and then I'm going to stay for 2 weeks. Time of year. Yeah. So we're going to continue with
this. We'll try and make sure that we get tapes of it all. When are you leaving? This week?
Okay,
this month? Okay.
No, the main thing I want to learn is about the Na'ar.
That's going to be a separate shiur.
It's interesting because I learned with someone a number of years ago about Gehazi.
Yes.
And how blessed they did.
Oh, they
did.
Really
they just took him apart.
And the Gemara in Sanhedrin takes him apart.
They take him apart.
He's going to do tshuva. All right.
He does tshuva.
I think he does. I think
really?
He does. That's my opinion.
Yeah, that's interesting.